Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
There are kingdoms, there are mountains, and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will reign forever.
To his kingdom there'll be no end.
Again, there are kings, everybody.
There are kings, there are kingdoms, there are mountains, and there are thrones.
Only Yeshua
will reign forever. To his
kingdom there'll be no end. Say with me, there are names, there are names, there are titles, there are times, there are legends,
there are legends and tales of strength.
Kingdom, there'll be no end.
There'll be no end.
Sing with me. yes, Lord, we bless you. Thank you that only you will reign forever. And you reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight it is before you we've come and we've gathered. Thank you that we have a share in your everlasting kingdom. And thank you, Father, that we are seated in heavenly places with you. We are delighted to be called your people and to be called your children. And this evening, as we've gathered before you, we pray that you will speak to us, impart our lives, touch us in a very unique way, and may we not be the same again by the time we leave here. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen. Amen. Say amen again. Come on and put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. Would you please turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1? And we want to read from verse 26 to 31 from the New King James Version of the Bible. Last Wednesday, I started a short series on leadership with you. You recall that the month that just went by, which is the month of June, was a month of stewardship and leadership, or leadership and stewardship. But I think I like to put the stewardship first, followed by leadership. So for most of the Sundays, I believe, I shared on stewardship. But for our midweek service, especially for the last part of the month, my focus has been on leadership. And tonight I'm sharing with you the second part of leadership according to God's plan for man. Part two. Leadership according to God's plan for man, part two. And our foundational scripture, we looked at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. And the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so." Verse 31. "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Hallelujah. So last week, I defined for you what leadership is. Is that not so? So what did you write down? All right. So leadership is the ability to influence, to guide, and inspire people toward a common goal. That's leadership. Then I also said that leadership is using the gifts, abilities, and opportunities God has given you to wisely manage resources, accomplish God's purpose, serve people, and inspire others to do the same. Does that make sense at all? You sure it does? All right. So based on this, we therefore will define a leader as a person who develops and uses his or her God-given gifts and abilities to wisely manage resources, fulfill God's purpose, help others, and encourage people to join in accomplishing that purpose. Hallelujah. All right, so you probably have to go back to last Wednesday's message to be able to get all these things. If I were to take my time as I did last week, we will not finish. All right. So you notice that we talked about leadership as using the gifts and the abilities that God has given you. And I explained to you what gifts are. All right. I explained to you that gifts are the things that God has placed inside of you, which are like things that come naturally to you, things that come easily to you. Those are your gifts. And then I explained that abilities are the natural or the God-given capacities and strengths and capabilities which enable a person to function and to accomplish tasks. Amen. So let me give you some biblical examples so that the distinction between a gift and an ability will become clearer to you. If you take somebody like Moses in the Bible, Moses had a gift of leadership, and he also had the ability to guide a nation. So you can see the distinction. He had a gift of leadership, and God also gave him the ability to guide the nation. Another example I can give you is somebody like Joseph. What gift do you think did Joseph have? What gift did he have? What do you know about Joseph? Yeah, that's his gift. You know, sometimes when I'm asking the question, I have a feeling that people think I'm tricking them. That's no trick. Tricky be any. It is exactly what he had. He had the gift of interpreting dreams. Amen. But he also had the ability to administer resources. Because remember that after he had interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, Pharaoh put him in charge of administering the resources of Egypt. And he did it excellently. So that was an ability that he had. So we can identify his gift and we can identify an ability that he had. Hallelujah. Daniel. So Daniel, what gift did Daniel have? He had a gift of wisdom. Amen. He had a gift of wisdom. Because remember that together with the other three Hebrew boys, it was discovered that they had more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding than everybody else. So he had a gift of wisdom. But he also had the ability to serve effectively in different governments. Because he served in the Babylonian kingdom. He also served in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And it is unusual. Very, very unusual. I mean, can you imagine? Just picture this. That NPP appoints somebody as the Minister of Finance. And then when NDC comes, they retain the same person. It will not happen. It will never, never, never happen. It will never happen. So it was a very unusual thing that different kingdoms, different kings, but they all retained Daniel.
And it is because they saw a certain ability in him. And they felt that this ability, we must make good use of it. Hallelujah. Look, I know that sometimes in workplaces, offices, and what have you, there's a lot of politics. Is that not so? But may God give you the ability to function and flourish well, irrespective of the administration at any particular time or season. Can I have a loud amen? Yeah. It is not really supposed to be so. One of the things that I struggle to understand is why this government is in power, and when another government comes, they begin to move the heads of different government institutions, and it's like we have to place our own person there. You do not develop a country that way. People should occupy positions because of their efficiency and because of their ability, not because of their loyalty and their party affiliations. And any country that is governed in that way does not make much progress. So now, do you begin to understand why sometimes our problems never go away? How's it? David is another example of somebody. He was gifted in music, and he also had a leadership ability. Then let's bring it to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, we can say that he had a gift of teaching, and he also had the ability to communicate truths powerfully. Look, a lot of the foundational truths upon which the Christian faith stand on, we receive them from the teachings of the Apostle Paul, because God gave him an ability to expound truth in a very powerful way. So with this, you can see the difference between gifts and abilities. Amen. All right. Now, I've defined leadership for you, and I explained to you last week that when God created humanity, he had a plan for man, that man would be a leader. Every human being, God's intention and plan for you is that you will be a leader. Hallelujah. Now, why would I say so? We read the story of the creation of man. And you will notice in verse 26, what does it say there? Genesis 1:26. He said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." He should be like us. Referring to the Godhead or the Holy Trinity. And then the next thing he said was that, "Let them have dominion." So I'm drawing your attention to that statement. Let them have dominion. Look at verse 28. It is repeated there. Verse 28. And whoever is on the project, be fast. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it." Then what did he say again? Have dominion. Have dominion. And I explained to you that that word dominion is from a Hebrew word, radar, which means to tread down or to subjugate. And to subjugate means to bring someone or something under control. So you have that. But when you go beyond that, that word dominion also means ruling or reigning. So when you have dominion, it means you are to rule. When you have dominion, it means you are to reign. And it speaks about authority. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is leadership. Leadership is about ruling. Leadership is about reigning. And when God created man, he made a very clear statement. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So from this scripture we read, Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 31, there are seven important truths about leadership which I shared with you last week. The first one, that leadership comes from God. Can you say with me, leadership comes from God? Yes. Number two, everyone is called to lead in some way. Can you say that with me? Everyone is called to lead in some way. Everyone Everyone is called to lead in some way. You will struggle with what I am saying if the only way you see or perceive leadership is in terms of position, in terms of power, in terms of, you know, controlling people. Because usually when we talk about a leader, that's what people begin to think of. But I want you to understand that there is more to leadership than that. And everyone is called to lead in some way. Remember that the instruction that let them have dominion was an instruction to humanity. It was not just an instruction to Adam and Eve. Because ask yourself, if it was just an instruction to Adam and Eve, how could two people have dominion over the whole earth? The only logical and sensible interpretation to put to this is that that instruction have dominion was an instruction to all of humanity. Hallelujah. So understand that everyone is called to lead in some way. Number three, leadership is a responsibility from God. Will you say that with me, please? Leadership is a responsibility from God. Because from the story of the creation of man, you can see that God entrusted a responsibility to humanity. When he said, be fruitful, be multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. That's responsibility. Number four, leadership is how God carries out his purposes on earth. Can you say that with me? Leadership. Exactly. Now, who created the earth? The Lord or God? Who created everything in the universe? God. And whatever he created, he had a plan and a purpose for it. So there's a song we sing. Thou art worthy, O God, to receive all glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hallelujah. Everything that God created, he created it for his will, for his purpose, and for his pleasure. And God's purposes was that he was creating man to rule over the earth on his behalf. That's what it is. So our leadership, however you see it, is a responsibility from God. And that's how we should always interpret leadership. That wherever you find yourself as a leader, in whatever capacity, know that it is a responsibility that God has entrusted to you. Look at Romans 13, verse 1. It says, maybe give me the New Living Translation. This is not bad. Everyone must submit to who? Governing authorities. For all authority comes from who?
God.
All. Including the authority that you don't like. Which is why after elections, when the results are declared, and they say that this person has won 50% plus one votes, at least, it makes that person our president, our leader. And even if you did not vote for him, no. That according to this scripture, all authority comes from God. All, not some. All authority comes from God. So leadership is how God carries out his purposes on earth. And he establishes leadership so that ultimately his purposes will be accomplished. And then number five, leadership is about managing things, not controlling people. Can you say that with me, please? That is leadership according to God. Kingdom leadership is about managing things and not controlling people. The leadership according to this world system is about controlling people, dominating them, and exercising strength and control over them. There is an aspect of, if you like, strength. Because you see, the fact that you're a leader does not mean that you should be weak. You're supposed to be a kind and a compassionate leader, but you're not supposed to be a weak leader. Otherwise, you'll have a problem. But that is for another day. But understand this thing, that based on the scripture we read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31, we can see clearly that leadership is about managing things and not controlling people. Because when God said, let them have dominion over the fish of the air, over the birds, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all cattle, and over everything that moveth or creepeth upon the face of the earth. Notice that he did not say, let them have dominion over human beings. It wasn't there. So they were supposed to have dominion over things. It is the fall of man that has corrupted God's original idea of leadership. So leadership is about managing things, not controlling people. Number six, leadership involves working with others. Would you please say that with me? Hallelujah. Because what did God say? Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So they have to work together. It's them. It is them. Now, remember that God created Adam first before he created Eve. He could have said that let Adam have dominion. In fact, earlier, in one of the verses, you find out that after he made man, he told him to have dominion. But then he repeated this thing about having dominion even after Eve had been created, putting things in the right perspective. And he said, let them have dominion. So it means leadership involves working with others. Hallelujah. And then the final truth is that leadership is built on influence. Amen. Say that with me, please. Is built on influence. So we can glean all of these from that scripture, foundational scripture we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. So it means that leadership is essentially about responsibility, about service, about influence, about stewardship. Primarily or essentially, that is what leadership is about. And it is not primarily about position, about power, about authority, about recognition. We have turned leadership into that, but that is a distorted view of what true leadership is according to God. Amen. So from all of this, we can understand that there are two dimensions of leadership. There's personal leadership, and then there's corporate leadership. Amen. All right. Now, today, what I want to do, and I hinted this last week, is that I want to share with you another important aspect of leadership according to God's plan for mankind. And this aspect is what I want to call team leadership. Everybody say team leadership. Say it again. Team leadership. Hallelujah. All right. And I think it's self-explanatory. That means leadership that is being done by a team. All right. Now, from the very beginning, even just based on the scripture that we read, God's design has never been for one person to carry all the responsibility alone. That's never been God's design. And what he has done is that he has given to each one of us the ability and responsibility to be able to lead in one way or the other. And this makes sense again if you see leadership as more of responsibility, service, influence, and stewardship. And I'm saying to you that God has given to each and every one of us the ability and responsibility to lead in one way or another. And what it is that as each one of us play our part and carry out our roles, as we work together, we support one another, we cooperate with one another, ultimately what we do is that we accomplish a common purpose. And that's how God wants things to be. And ladies and gentlemen, this thing that I'm talking about working together, working as a team, everybody using what God has given him or her, a gift, an ability for the general good of the entire body, what I'm saying to you applies to every area of life. It applies to families. It applies to workplaces, to schools, to churches, to communities, and even to nations, where it is not just one person who makes things work and who makes things tick. It is different people working together at different levels. That is how things are done. That is how things are accomplished. And that is what team leadership is about. So then people unite, they combine their different gifts and strengths, and then serve together as one team. Anywhere you find such an arrangement, you discover that things work very well. I'm telling you. But any system where it's like just a few people are perceived as leaders and everybody else is seen as servants or as subjects, usually what you have there is not a good life. But in a correct system, you find out that so many people are working together as a team to make things work. So, for example, let me just use an example and an illustration that will resonate well with you. So, when did Accra get flooded? When did we have the rains that Accra got flooded? Oh, it was Monday. All right. So, let's take the flooding problem of Accra. It's a problem that has been there for many, many years. Do you know how we're going to solve the problem? We're going to solve the problem when everybody comes together and we work as a team. It is then and only then that we can solve this flooding problem. I know it is easier to blame government, and I understand why we do that. Because it's often been said that the buck stops with the leader. But I can tell you that this flooding problem, it will never go away unless we come together. And different groups would have to work in different ways to solve the problem. The first group, government. Government has a role to play to solve the problem. Government has to make sure that there are good drainage systems. And Pastor Jokumi and I want to appeal to the government that when we make the drains, we should cover them. It amazes me, really, that our men and women in authority, they travel. They go to all kinds of places. There is no developed country where there are open drainages. Nowhere. Nowhere. By the grace of God, I've traveled quite a bit. And I can tell you that there is no developed country where there are open drains. So, the government has to provide proper drainage systems. The government has to enforce building regulations. They have to enforce it. They have to enforce it. I was looking at a drone view that somebody shared on TikTok after the flooding. And I was looking at the buildings. So what you see is total confusion and lack of order. Total confusion. But if you have the privilege of traveling, pray that when the plane is landing, it is daytime. Then just look out of your window at where you are going to, if it's a proper developed country. You see order, arrangements. Look, in some places, when you go there, the buildings have similar colors. Not bright colors. Bright colors. You see, shade of brown, shade of ash, and it is orderly arranged. You cannot have your building facing here, this other person's building facing there, this other person's building facing the ground. Never. So building regulations will have to be enforced. So government will have to do that. Hallelujah. And then government will have to invest in flood preventing infrastructure. You have to invest in that. There are infrastructure that are invested in to prevent flooding. It is not just the drainage. The other things that have to be done. There are places that they say they have all those plans, where there are places where when there is flooding, the water should be able to collect in certain places, and that water, you can use it. Because if we were doing things properly, the Odor River and the Kole Lagoon can become major tourist centers or tourist attraction in our country. And government will have to lead that effort. So government has a part to play. But it is not just government. Then the local assemblies. The local assemblies are to ensure that the gutters are desilted. In the first place, if we cover the gutters, we won't have this problem. But because they are open, people just dump things in, and then when it rains and everything, things collect in it. The local assemblies must make sure that they desilt the gutters. And I want to use the opportunity to thank the local assembly in charge of this area, that they desilted the storm drain that runs behind the church building. Yeah, the man can hear you. I was very happy when I... did you give them a gift? I told you to dash them something, and you didn't dash them. You couldn't find them. It's on to you. I was happy one day when I came, they have come to me, because there were some stubborn grass, elephant grass, and weeds that are taking over the drain. I was very happy when I came, saw that they had desilted it and everything. The last rains that fell, I was told that the storm drain was full to the brim, but by the grace of God, it did not overflow its banks. That's why we are here. And there's so much to be thankful to God for. Say, thank you, Jesus. Because I've seen pictures of church buildings that are flooded. So there's so much for us to be thankful for. Hallelujah. So the local assemblies have to ensure that the drains are desilted. They have to ensure that unauthorized structures in waterways are removed. If the local assemblies were doing what they were supposed to do, nobody should be able to build in a waterway. And nobody should tell me that they didn't know. One of the things that amazes me, when I go to obscure places and I've seen they've written on people's building projects, stop work, produce permit. Every corner where you try to put up a building, if they find it, they will come and write with what color of paint? Red. Don't tell me that they don't know that people are building in the waterways. They know. Money has exchanged hands. People who have been paid to make sure that things like that don't occur are not doing what they are supposed to do. So if the local assemblies can ensure that, we will not have the situation that we are having. So they have a role to play. Environmental agencies will have to enforce sanitation laws. They have to educate the citizenry. Is it just them? No. Communities have a responsibility. Individuals, residents. Residents, we must stop dumping rubbish in the gutters. We try that. So, I have to control myself. Do you see? I have to really control myself at this point. Because I'm trying to understand how God has given you a brain. And you can have such a powerful thing. And you say it is raining. So I should take the rubbish that I've generated in my house, come and pour it out so that the rainwater and the floods will take it away. To where? To where? And this is part of the problem. This is part of the problem. So if the flooding problem is going to be solved, residents would have to become very responsible. Responsible about their garbage, about the rubbish and what have you. Communities would have to come together and clean their neighborhoods, help to distill gutters. You see, that thing of, it's true, I understand. You know, that we pay taxes, you know. So once we pay taxes, there are people who are supposed to be employed to do this and do that. But please, if we live in a community and we can see that the community is in a mess, we should be able to come together. Or even if we are not coming together, everybody should ensure that their section is taken care of. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Yeah. So communities have a role to play. The church has a role to play. And here we are. We are in church. And look at what I'm sharing with you on. I'm talking to you about team leadership. And I'm relating it to the flooding. That's one of the roles of the church. To teach the church members. And we are not only doing that. Today, did we not pray? We prayed for Ghana. We prayed concerning the rains. We prayed concerning the flooding. That's our role. That's our responsibility. All right? And we're supposed to do what we can to support. If there's a crisis, do what we can to support families that have been affected. Why do you think I was asking on the platform? Is everybody okay? Does anybody have an issue and all of that? Nobody said anything. Just this evening, I thought of somebody, a church member, and I called her. I said, how are you? Everything okay? And then she sent me a video of the house that they live in and the flooding. It says up to today, they are still fetching the water out of there. So what did I do about it? What did I do? Forgive. I did what? I'm arranging to take a pumping machine there tomorrow. Immediately I called him. I said, make inquiries for me. Number one, how much does a pumping machine cost? Number two, how much does it cost to rent one? I was asking those questions. And then Forgive told me that some people have pumping machines in their homes. Yeah. Mentioned at least two people. So that's church. Doing what we can to help people and everything. Schools have a role to play. Is that not why? What subject is it that deals with such issues in school? Pardon? Social studies, environmental studies. So schools have a role to play. And then the media has a role to play. You see, I painted this picture to you to get you to understand the concept of team leadership. It's different groups of people. Different people. This one playing that role. That one playing that role. This one playing that role. Collectively, we work as a team. And that is how we can achieve a common purpose. And that is how we can solve problems. That's what team leadership is all about. Hallelujah. And so when every person and every institution faithfully plays its part, the burden is shared and lasting solutions become possible. Hallelujah. All right, so now let's bring that to the church. And all that I'm sharing with you, or what I'm going to share with you with respect to the church, it's applicable to other institutions, not just to the church alone, because these are principles. These are leadership principles, and they cut across different types of institutions. Now, I'm talking about team leadership. And if, as I'm zeroing in on the church now, I would have you understand that it is God's plan that his people, all the believers in any local church, will work together as one body with each person contributing his or her part. That's God's plan. That's God's leadership plan. And it's a leadership plan of team leadership. Where any church that you have, any local church, any local assembly that you find, God's leadership plan is that every single member of that local assembly has an important role to play, has a function to carry out. And it is all of us working together that will make the church work well. Can I have an amen? So you see, one of the greatest mistakes that some believers make is when they begin to say, I'm not important. I'm not needed. You can get along well without me. I have no role to play. Sometimes they say, let the pastor do it. Let the leaders do the work. So many believers in our churches, that is the kind of mind that they have. But it is wrong. Because every believer, based on everything that I've shared with you so far, has been called to lead in some capacity. And again, I'm explaining to you that leadership is not about power, authority, position, recognition. It's about service. It's about responsibility. It's about influence. And every one of us is being called to lead in some capacity. So you may not be the head of the ushers ministry or the ushers department, but you've been called to lead by example. So you are not the leader, but when you set a good example, you are leading. Because you are influencing and it's making a difference. Hallelujah. You may not have a title, but you can lead through service. Because leadership is about service. So you may not have a title. You may not be called leader this, head of this, that. You may not have all of that. But you are still supposed to be a leader. And you do so by serving, by the way you serve around. You may not stand behind the pulpit to preach like I'm doing today. But you can lead through your faithfulness. Like if I look at some of you, you are here faithfully. Every Wednesday evening. And there are some people I know that if I come here on Wednesday for times of impartation, they will always be here. And there's even one person who is not really a member of this church, but every Wednesday she's here. Mommy is clapping for her. All of you, clap for her. Clap, clap, clap. You see that you are looking behind you because you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. And for me, it's a remarkable thing. It's an admirable thing. So she's not even a member. But by being faithfully here, virtually every Wednesday, she's setting an example. And today I've mentioned it in the preaching. Hopefully, it should provoke some people to say that, hey, if somebody who is not a member is here every Wednesday, what excuse do I have for not being here? I'm just explaining something to you. It's not about a title. It's not about a position. It's not about being made the head of anything. There are people also who think that when I am made the head, then I'll be able to really function well. It is one of the greatest deceptions that I have ever encountered in life. And sometimes I tell people, do you see the way you make it difficult for your leaders? Because what you must also understand is that even in team leadership, there are those who are leaders in the team. Okay? Yeah. So sometimes I tell people, do you see how you give your leaders tough time? One day was Bayo. So it is later on when they also assume leadership positions and nobody is minding them. That is when they begin to see that that attitude that they were portraying, they are reaping it at least 30-fold. Yeah. So that's why you do not have to wait to be appointed to a certain position, to function faithfully, to set a good example, to be part of the solution and not remain part of the problem. So if you are in a group and you find out that people are causing problems, people are making things difficult for the leaders and all, what have you, one of the ways you exhibit leadership is to tell yourself that I will not be part of the problem. I will always be part of the solution. So today, I was looking at the choir page. All right? The choir leader, Godfred, sometimes no one put your mobile. He had gone to compose some... So he posted songs that the choir is supposed to learn this month, for the month of June. And then he added a beautiful message encouraging the choristers that please listen to the songs, learn them. And then it was a very beautiful message. Out of the how many people that are on the platform, only two bothered to even respond. I don't know whether it's okay to you that one of the greatest signs of disrespect is if you are communicating with somebody and the person is not minding you. That's disrespect. And I see people exhibit it all the time. I see the different platforms. Maybe the leaders, they post things and everything. Only a few people come to acknowledge. Today, Pastor James was facing some of the pastors because he put up a message on the pastor's platform asking a question. And those he was asking the question of, they read his message, but they didn't mind him. So he put a message on the platform that, you people have read the thing, you didn't mind me. Then he ended with, anyway. What am I saying to you? That sometimes by the way you conduct yourself, by setting a good example, by your responsibility, by the respect, by some of these little things that you do, you are actually leading. Nobody is giving you any title or any position, but by your attitude, your behavior, your responses, you are exhibiting leadership, because leadership is more than position, it's more than an office, it's more than recognition, it's more than power. Leadership is about responsibility, leadership is about service, leadership is about setting a good example. And that's why I'm emphasizing again that God's plan has always been that all of us together, you have a gift, you have an ability, there's a way you can serve, there's a way you can help. Collectively, God's plan of leadership is a team leadership model where all of us are working together to achieve a common goal and to make things work well. So every member has a function and every member has an assignment in a church like this. Without exception, every single member has a role to play, and it's a leadership role. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Every single member. And the church is not built by superstars. The church is built by a committed team. That's how a church is built. That's how a church is built. So you see, if you have a church system where it's like the pastor of the church is like a superstar and everything revolves around him and he's the center of everything that goes on there, for some time and for some season, it will look like things are working well. But when he's not there, that is when you begin to realize that what was built was not on a solid foundation. And the church, a local church assembly like ours, is not built by a superstar. I am the one who has the privilege most Sundays to stand here to share the word of God with you. For me, it's a privilege. And for me, it's an honor. But I know very well that if SFRF is going to do well and go places, all the different people that God has blessed this church with will have to contribute their quota, will have to join in, will have to get involved in order for the church to become everything that God wants it to be. And I'm going to end with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31. I think that this is a scripture that brilliantly explains the concept of team leadership and how important everybody is in a team like this. From the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 12, starting from verse 12. It says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ." What's another name for the body of Christ? Church. So you can see here that the church is being compared to the human body, which is made up of many different parts. Next verse. "Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." Verse 14. Yes, now it's explaining it further. The body has many different parts, not just one part. Now, it is identifying some of the parts of the body. And he says, "If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body." "And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye,' will that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything?" How? That your whole body is an aswa. What is that? Next verse. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. And where he has put each part is because that part has a role to play, and it's a role that benefits the whole body. Verse 19. How strange a body would it be if it had only one part? Yes, it's emphasizing it again. There are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest part. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together. So now he's bringing it home to the church, the local assembly, the institution called church. And remember, I told you that what we are saying is about the church, but it applies to any institution. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Now it goes on to explain different parts of the body. Here are some. So he didn't mention all. He says here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. So he's just mentioning some. So don't say that because your own was not mentioned, it means that you are not important. Because if he were to mention everything, the Bible, we will not finish reading it. Next verse. Are we all apostles? What's the answer? There's only one apostle in this. Okay. Are we all archbishops? Are we all prophets? What's the answer? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Answer me, you. Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? And the Bible says, of course not. Next verse. So, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And that is when he moves on to talk about love. So, emphasizing that in all these things that we are talking about, love should be the guiding factor and love should be the motive. Let's look at another scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. Romans 12, 3 to 8. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Each part has what? A special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Tell your neighbor, you belong to me, and I belong to you. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Hallelujah. So in these two scriptures that I read to you, we see the concept of one body made up of different parts. And every part of the body has a role to play and has a function to play. From our human assessment of things, we may say that this one seems to be more important than that one. That is from a human perspective. But I want you to understand that every part of the body is valuable. So if you take your human body, every part of it is valuable. That is why, even if there's a slight problem with your little toe, let's say you are cutting your nail, and then you made a mistake and you cut the flesh. Do you see how you feel in your body? Meanwhile, it is just that small toe there. But sometimes the pain. You know, I used to chew my nails. So every now and again, I find myself putting my finger in my mouth. But I try not to bite them. And God has delivered me. But occasionally, I want to bite on something. So there are these small corners of the nail. You know, sometimes they feel very rough and all of that. So then you bite it. But at times when I've bitten more than I should, and just that small thing that I bit off, that I didn't bite well, the pain that runs through the finger. Every part is important, I'm telling you. And that's what we must understand. And by these scriptures, God is explaining very clearly to us that every one of us is important. Every one of us has a role to play. Every one of us has a special function to carry out. And we must carry out these functions well. Amen. And team leadership is where every one of us is doing what we are supposed to do. Now, the fact that your function is different from my function does not mean that you are not valuable. That because you don't do what I do, it means that what you do is not important. Then there's also the converse. The fact that we are equal, that each one of us is valuable, does not mean we have equality of function. Do you understand the two perspectives of what I'm saying? So there is one where it's like, because you don't do what I do, it means that you are not important, I am important. That's an error. Then the other error is to say that because all of us are valuable, the functions are the same. The functions are not the same. So all of us are valuable in this body. All of us have a role to play. All of us have a function to carry out. Some may be more pronounced than others. Some may be in public view. Some may be, you know, out of public view. But whatever it is, whether you deem it as big or small, you are an important part of the body. And whatever you have to do, please do it well. So if you talk about the growth of the church, for example, how is the church going to grow? How are you going to fill up? How are you going to have a lot of people? If every single member decides that, I have somebody I can talk to. I have somebody I can invite. I have somebody I can work on. Because I don't live in the middle of the sea. I live in a community. I relate with people. I have a family. I have friends. I have mates. I have work colleagues. If everyone will understand that the Great Commission is supposed to be carried out by all of us, and not just the pastors, not just the so-called evangelists, but all of us. That is how the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled. And all of us will play our roles well. That's when we begin to see the church becoming everything that Christ wanted it to become. And I've shared this with you to let you understand that God's plan of leadership is a team leadership thing. And from today, see yourself as important, but without pride. See yourself as important, but don't become proud. Instead, recognize that in whatever we are trying to do here in this church, you have an important role to play. And you have been called to be a leader also in your own capacity. Have that understanding that leadership is about responsibility. So if you are given responsibility, carry it out well. That leadership is about service. So if you have an opportunity to serve, serve well. In any department, in any ministry, serve well. Leadership is about influence. If you have the opportunity to influence somebody else, do it. Leadership is about guidance. If you have the opportunity to guide other people, do it. And it is when all of us come together under team leadership, that is when the purposes of God for this church will be accomplished. And you can extend this to wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, in your community, at the workplace, in your school. Understand that wherever you are, there is a role that you can play there. And you've been called to be a leader in your community. You've been called to be a leader in your school. You've been called to be a leader at your workplace. You've been called to be a leader in your family. There's something that you can do. There's a gift you have. There's an ability you have. Don't let those gifts and abilities lie dormant. Develop them. Stir them up. Don't sit on the fence any longer. Bury yourself into whatever is being done and play your role. And it is when everybody is contributing that things will begin to work well at the end of the day. I trust that with this teaching, you have a good understanding of leadership according to God's plan for us. May the Lord add his blessing to the teaching of his word. And let everybody say amen. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for your word. Thank you for what we've learned about your plan of leadership for us. Thank you for teaching us about team leadership. I pray, Father, that from this point onwards, we will understand that we are leaders in different ways and in different capacities. That there are ways we can serve. That there are things we can do. That the gifts and the abilities you've given to us are supposed to be used in carrying out things. And I pray, Father, let there be a change in each and every one of us. Let not that apathy, that withdrawal, that passivity that you often see with many believers in our churches, let that thing disappear from us. But let us get involved in the work. Understand that we are leaders. And as we work together under team leadership, the church will get to where God wants it to be and will become everything that you want it to become. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And let everyone say amen. All right. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.